AOTH Under the Spotlight, a premium edition of the Ahead of the Herd newsletter, hosted by Rick Mills.
Hi, I'm Rick Mills. Joining the show today is Brad Alix. Brad is a co-founder and director of Pyphera Growth Capital Corp and has served as a board member and a senior executive for many public companies. Brad was the founder in 2004 of BND Capital and raised over $600 million for his clients. Brad was recently appointed as an advisor to Getchell Gold. Getchell Gold trades on the CSE under the symbol GTCH and on the OTC under the symbol GGLDL. Getchell Gold is the subject of today's podcast. Hi, Brad. Welcome to the show. You geologists and are very knowledgeable. You're very familiar with Getchell's projects. Could you give us your history with the company?
Thanks for the invite and thanks for the introduction, Rick. Yeah, I've been around the Getchell story for over 10 years, I guess, and have been involved really in vetting the entire portfolio of properties that Getchell has under its management. Looked at the Star Point and Star South project, was one of its earliest acquisitions, and was also around and invited to go down and have a look at the Fond du Lac Canyon project when we were in discussions and negotiations to acquire that last year, and just couldn't be more delighted with how that property has shaped up.
Yeah, you've actually walked the pediment on the range front out in Fond du Lac, and you've walked on the Star property, so you know these three projects very, very well.
Yeah, a good property visit to both, and have really assisted in putting together the geological plans and watched all of this data come in over the last number of years. So I'm pretty knowledgeable with the details.
Yeah, I'm really glad to have you on the show today because I know you are so intimate with the three different projects and have actually been down there and done site visits, and you have kept up with the company. Now, could you give us a quick project summary on the three, the Fond du Lac, the Pediment, the Star, and then we'll get into last year's results from all three?
Sure. Let's start with an overview of Fond du Lac project. That's the newest one and has the significant market attention right now. So let's focus there. We'll get into Star Point in a minute. So Fond du Lac Canyon, what really attracted the attention of Getchell to this project is a really significant existing resource that had been issued, and what wasn't just the size of the resource, 1.1 million ounces, but the grade of it was in excess of 6 grams per ton. And no matter, you know, where we've been in the last 20 years, anytime you can start with over a million ounces at 6 grams, it has to grab your attention. So I spent a good day on the project, walking through the various different zones and with management, of course. And we came away, you know, really blown away by the magnitude of the mineral system there. We're seeing continuous outcropping of mineralization and zones over a 3.5-4 kilometer long deformation zone, and high grade veins, a low grade alteration in the wall rocks, just everything that you would want to see as part of a very big mineral system there.
The historical resource estimate has 409,000 indicated ounces, grading 6.18 grams a ton. And you've got 660,000 ounces inferred resources at 6.4 grams a ton. So, you know, you definitely have a high grade resource as a starter. So this is really a valuable asset.
Yeah, and those ounces are split basically between four zones, although there's probably close to a dozen zones known on the property and have seen at least some limited drilling. Those four main zones include Paperweight, which has about half of those ounces. Half Moon, Colorado are the main ones. And then we also have the Pack Rat is associated in that group as well.
Fond du Lac is an interesting target to consolidate and maybe add some accretive ounces to the resource estimate. In your opinion, what's driving the geological model here, or what's driving the mineralization?
Well, so far, what we know is that we have this extensive deformation zone, and the mineralization has come up through these extremely receptive host rocks of limestone and argillites, and all of these major cracks and fissures. And when I say all of these, I'm talking about literally hundreds of known exposures of any cracks or fissures have been soaked with mineralization. And for the most part, the historical stuff has focused on higher grade, you know, seeing these 6 gram, 9 gram, 10 gram type occurrences. But once you look into the database, we have over 700 drill holes have been drilled in this throughout this area. And most of them shallow, looking for oxide resource, but they create an incredible database of information that shows us all kinds of mineralization also soaking out into these sedimentary packages that are anywhere in the, you know, half gram, 1 gram, 2 gram numbers. And so what's most exciting about this central area that I described with the paperweight, half moon, and Colorado zones is that, you know, we've seen a resource of this higher grade material, but nobody's really put together a comprehensive resource with regards to all of the low grade that is associated with this as well. And so we're really looking forward to being able to advance the next stages of this, looking at a much broader mineral system.
Okay, now you mentioned that mineralization has been driven into literally hundreds of cracks and veins and fissures. Now, that must have been a one heck of a heat signature underneath there or off to the side. What's driving all of that?
Well, that part is still open to discovery. We have a number of significant indications that, you know, there may be associated a much larger heat source here, potentially an intrusive body being associated with this. There's a large alteration signature across this central area that really looks more classic of an intrusive alteration package. We're only seeing signs at this point in time of dikes and sills of intrusive nature. And very importantly, all of these dikes and sills, although they are not mineralized to a large extent themselves, the highest grade mineralization is in close proximity to these dikes and sills. So part of the new geological modeling has been to follow these intrusive bodies and use it as a predictive tool for continuing to trace these higher grade sections of mineralization. And that, in fact, was one of the key components of the 2020 drill program. And it just came back with fantastic results, better than expected on all counts.
Yeah, we drilled 6 holes last year. The ones into Fond du Lac came back outstanding. I mean, we hit on every hole. We found new zones of mineralization. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
So the 2020 drilling really was focused in this central area, with the exception of the first hole, which we'll cover later. Holes 2 to 6 were focused on two particular areas within the central area of this mineralization. Holes 2, 3, 5, and 6 basically tested a theory that these intrusive dikes and sills associated with the higher grade mineralization had seen some historical presence, but only with a sporadic drill hole here or a drill hole there. And so the geological team really came together, came up with this new model, and tested it with four holes. Two of them were from the Colorado, which is in the northern part of the central area, and two of them were from towards the Pack Rat area in the south of the central area, and drilled back into an area with very little coverage in drilling. And all four of those holes intercepted extremely significant amounts of mineralization, both in width, but also had some spectacular grade. So then hole number four was drilled into the Half Moon and North Fork zone. And, you know, this was an intriguing hole because it was meant to cut in the upper part of the hole, the Half Moon Shear. And we wanted to progress through the depth of the system to see what else we could encounter. And the Half Moon Shear just came back with stellar numbers. The upper part of the Half Moon had 9.8 meters at 8 grams gold, but it was followed shortly after, 10 meters later, by an additional 20 meters of 2.7 grams gold and a third intercept that ran 3 meters of 6 grams gold. So a very, very significant intercept in the Half Moon Shear. But later in the hole, we encountered an additional zone that ran 15 meters of 3.2 grams gold, and it included a nice sweetener of 8.5 meters of 5.5 grams gold. So that was a nice addition. And then in the bottom of the hole, we had a beautiful surprise, which is a new zone. It looks like it's lining up with what we had seen in the southern part of the Colorado area. And this has now been named the North Fork Zone. And we encountered at 383 meters in depth, we encountered a 58 meter zone that ran 2.5 grams and included multiple high grade intercepts within that. One of it was 36 meters of 3.5 grams, and the second was 5 meters of over 10 grams. So interestingly, that wasn't the end of it. The hole continued down to 493 meters. And the last part of this hole, we found another zone of mineralization, ran 14.5 meters of 2.6 grams gold. The point I'm trying to get across in just referencing, you know, these individual holes is that the amount of mineralization we're seeing, as I mentioned, leaking into every crack and crevice that we're encountering in the system is just extremely impressive. And, you know, both from a high grade perspective, as well as the amount of mineralization that we're seeing throughout all of this central area.
When you start doing 80 meter step outs and discovering that the zone continues and then you discover new zones, it's funny. I think people really have to realize just how easy it is to build ounces so quickly with intercept lengths and grade like we have. And I'm really looking forward to this year's program and putting together a resource estimate, like a new one on Fondaway. I mean, the results have just been spectacular, outstanding. Those holes, that those four holes were not counted in the historical resource estimate, were they? Or the area around those holes?
That's correct. There's none of these holes. And in fact, all of the drilling from 2017 forward have not had any influence on the historic resource. So all of this drilling is brand new material, has demonstrated that the 1.1 million ounces that we talked about previously is wide open for expansion. And these holes demonstrated not only is it open, but it's open in an extraordinary fashion. You know, most of these holes were drilled 200 plus meters away from other parts of the deposit that were in a part of the resource, and we've now delineated over 800 meters of down dip extent in this Colorado area between Colorado and Packrat.
That's amazing. Obviously, this is because they looked at the old model, the old drills, and came up with a brand new theory on gold emplacement. And these four holes seem to clearly bear out all that work was absolutely right. Am I right on that track, Brad?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They had a model that these late stage dikes and sills may be acting as both conduits and trapping mechanisms that are keeping the mineralization focused in and around these particular structures. And we had evidence from some real old historical holes that showed the presence of what the team believed was an intrusive sill. And that hole historically had both pretty good grade and about a 60 meter wide intercept of around 2 gram material. So that became kind of a focus highlight of redesigning the geological controls on some of this mineralization. And this program holds 2, 3, 5, and 6. We're all focused on proving up this model, and it came back with exceptional results in all counts.
Yeah, I mean, 2 gram material at 1,750 gold, that's $113 rock US, and with an inferred and indicated resource well over 6 grams a ton, it does seem that the nature of this deposit is going to be some high grade mined material.
We certainly believe that the core of this thing has very impressive grades. And one of the opportunities that we have moving forward is that these zones carry such impressive thickness, and there's so much additional leakage into the surrounding sedimentary sequences that there's a real shot here for us to come out with a large bulk tonnage target. And, you know, that work is still remains to be done. But the more holes we get into it, you know, we're just continually seeing all kinds of zones as we rip through these sedimentary sequences, even when we're not in the core of the high grade.
Yeah. And speaking of future drill holes, we've got quite a nice program planned on Fonway for 2021.
Yeah, right now the management is putting together that plan. It's expected to start in May. Without giving away any details before it's released with regards to those specific targets, we will be increasing the footage this year, expecting to drill probably a minimum of 12 to 15 holes. And the focus of that will again be in this central area, but there will be additional footage in some of the other zones that we'll really like to get a better familiarity with, including, you know, we had a one stab last year at the pediment zone. And I know this year the guys can't wait to take another stab at that one.
Mentioning future drill holes and mineralization here that we've talked about, when I look at a map of Fond du Lac Canyon, I see an interesting exit almost, or I'm not sure the geological term that you'd call it, but it looks like this canyon kind of opens up a little bit and from the south mouth goes out right into the plain out in front of the canyon, the Front Range. And I know we have a legitimate target out there that we call a pediment. Could you tell us about that and what the thinking is behind being out there?
Yeah, so the pediment zone is very intriguing. A lot of very significant deposits in Nevada are found in these range front areas where you have deeper geological fluids have been percolating, and the range fronts are also major structural areas. And it was very interesting to our team to note two historical holes, 10 and 11, they were called, in the pediment zone that were drilled just off the range front. So out into this very flat area in between the mountain ranges. And They were on general trend with the deformation corridor. And both of those holes hit fairly significant amounts of mineralization. It wasn't particularly high grade, but it was very decent grade as an oxide type deposit. Now, because of the amount of mineralization that we see up in the range itself, and now we've seen very pregnant mineralization in the structures within out in the range front, it has really captured our imaginations as to, you know, whether the true driving force of all of this mineralization may be coming from to the west out in the range front, or is it just a fact of following all of this mineralization deeper to find a potential much larger host? Last year, we tried to get a hole in between hole 10 and 11 from historical drilling, and we just ended up getting stuck in a fault and couldn't get through that. And so we didn't want to blow too much footage on an area that we were just testing the geological models on. So we carried on with the main focus of drilling in the central area. But there is enough mineralization in this structural corridor within the pediment zone that we really need to understand that to a much better degree. And we're excited to take another stab at it this year.
So we have the intrusive dikes and sills in the canyon. And from what I've read, the Carlin-style deposits are exactly what we've seen, or very similar. The mineralization driving those could have been a Carlin-style deposit out in the range front or the flat plain. So are we looking at maybe two types of mineralizing events, or one? Or I'm a little confused here, because I know the canyon you're looking at, the model is in intrusive, but everything that I've seen from the pediment suggests a possible Carlin-style deposit.
Rick, that story is something we hope we can write. At this point in time, what we're seeing is just pervasive amounts of mineralization that is predominantly structurally controlled through this deformation corridor. The association, though, with these late stage intrusive dikes and sills is very encouraging, to know that there has been significant heat sources involved in the immediate area. Whether they have diagenetic relationship with the mineralization, or if they're simply using the same structural conduits coming into the sedimentary sequences post-mineralization, still remains to be seen. So there, interestingly, remains, you know, a couple of really significant geological opportunities to blow this thing even wider open than we did this year. And that is, you know, looking deeper for the roots of the system, if it is in fact related to intrusives in one respect, and then in another respect, stepping off into the range front and see if there is another type of host or structural environment that is also receptive to mineralization off the range front. So we've already proven these mesothermal veins within the deformation corridor. We have evidence of the intrusives, and we have evidence of mineralization on the range front. So 1 + 1 = 3 here if we can continue with the drill and follow the sources of mineralization into other potential sources of origin.
Yeah, I mean, we've got over 400,000 in indicated. We've got over 600,000 in inferred. We've got all the holes from 2017. And as you were talking about, the great intercepts in historically sparsely drilled. So, I mean, all that's going into our asset already of almost 1.1 million ounces. And we've got so much exploration potential in and around Fond du Lac Canyon and out in the pediment. The company's trading in at 40 some cents. I actually think it's probably one of the better exploration development plays out there because of Fond du Lac and because of the pediment zone. And now we turn around and we look at what is a blue sky exploration shot at the Star. It's simply amazing. The company has three such quality projects and, of course, backed up by all the ounces that we already have a Fond du Lac of. Tell us about the Star.
Well, Star Point is a very intriguing geological area in its own right. And it's a completely different geological setting. What we're looking at there is leakage up into the contact between the upper plate and lower plate sedimentary sequences, and all kinds of copper, silver, and gold mineralization that has squeezed up along the fault plane between the upper plate rocks and the lower plate rocks. And there's quite a few pits, I'm going to say dozens, 20, 30, 40 pits that have been dug by the old timers along this contact zone where it is exposed at surface.
Yeah, you've walked that on surface for kilometers. I mean, it's really an interesting geological feature because it's right there on surface. You can easily identify it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what's so intriguing to me was the fact that this copper and gold-silver association is so pervasive. You can follow this stuff literally for kilometers walking along this contact zone in the range. And, you know, there's oxide copper all over the place. It's associated with, in some cases, spectacular grades of silver, upwards between 100 and 300 grams of silver. And there's also many samples that are running from 1 gram of gold to upwards of 9.5 grams of gold. So we have evidence of an extremely pregnant system that has leaked into this major structural plane. Now, the challenge is that, you know, when you have a 1 to 3 meter wide fault plane, it's not necessarily conducive to chase after that thing when copper's at 70 cents or 90 cents a pound. All of a sudden, we have copper at $4 a pound and looks like it's going a lot higher. So what has been a, you know, an intriguing occurrence now may actually become a very compelling target. I'm going to set that aside for a minute and go to what I really consider is the main target. So what we believe this geological environment is qualified as is an intrusive porphyry environment, probably a copper-based system that has driven off the precious metals out into these contact zones. So we have to date been reticent to drill this because it needed working up with some additional geophysics, looking for where the heat source is and where the big plum of mineralization could be resting. So that's what's been happening over the last several years. In fact, in 2020, we finished a second IP, induced polarization survey, in order to look at resistivity and chargeabilities across quite an area. We ran two different grids about 2 to 3 kilometers apart and came up with multiple targets here of what looks like both magnetic signatures and combinations of IP resistivity high, which looks like the intrusive itself, and surrounded by resistivity low and chargeability high, which is exactly what we would be looking for, assuming that you have contact mineralization around these intrusives. And so I think finally, after years of studying and working up the targets at Starpoint, that we're going to see our first Virgin drill program on at least one, if not two, of these style of targets at Star and Star South on that property.
How many holes do you think it would be to prove up your theory here?
We're going to start with, you know, a couple of holes. I think the team is comfortable that, you know, we'd like to see probably four holes in there would give us good coverage. Budgets are tight and these holes are going to be big holes. We're not talking about drilling a 100-meter hole here. These holes are going to probably be 500-600-meter deep holes. So we're going to start, I expect, with a couple of holes and see how it goes. But we're looking for big systems, so we don't have to plow right into the heart of the deposit to be encouraged to keep going. If we're seeing, you know, the right signs of alteration and signature mineralization with the copper plus or minus gold plus or minus silver, then we're going to be extremely encouraged to move Star and Star South to a much higher priority going forward.
It's an interesting company with all it's got at Fond du Lac and the Pediment and now the Star. I expect a lot of news this year and a lot of excitement to be generated by that news. We are heading into an inflationary environment. Gold and silver is going to do very well as copper, the critical metal responsible for pretty much the whole decarbonization and electrification theme. So it seems to me that Getchell's got exactly what it takes to actually gain some attention and some market share here.
I think you summarized it very eloquently, Rick. Looking forward to an even more vigorous season this year than last. You know, we're going to see probably triple the amount of drilling that we did last year between the multiple projects. And, you know, we know our model is holding up. We can expect to see additional extraordinary results coming off of Fond du Lac. And we've got our fingers crossed on a couple of virgin targets at Star that could blow this wide open for us.
Hey, well, thank you for being on the show today, Brad. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Enjoyed it, Rick. Thanks for the invite.
This has been an Under the Spotlight Premium Edition of the Head of the Herd newsletter.